Match day 5 is well and truly underway, and Tuesday did not disappoint. Barcelona are into the round of 16 after a dramatic comeback win over Porto. Borussia Dortmund join them thanks to a famous 3-1 success at San Siro, while wins for Lazio and Atletico have sent them through. But Newcastle are denied a momentous victory at Paris Saint-Germain by a late Kylian Mbappe penalty. Lots to get into as we review the latest action from the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm delighted to have the European football expert Kevin Hatchard alongside me to look back on Tuesday night's action. And Kev, I don't even know where to start, but I feel like the drama of the Parc des Princes and the fight from Newcastle is the real story of the night, despite other teams getting through to the knockouts.
Yeah, it was a great night all round. We got plenty of goals, we got plenty of really big performances when teams needed it. And it was very close to being that for Newcastle. I thought all the ingredients for an amazing away performance in this competition were there. Discipline without the ball, incredible effort, brilliant goalkeeping performance, were bold when they had the ball. And they really frustrated Paris for so much of the game. But the one thing you have to say about Paris, they know it wasn't their best night, but they kept going and going and going. Luis Enrique threw on attacking players to try and turn it their way. And it did go their way right at the end. So credit to them for that, for going all the way to the end of the 8 minutes of stoppage time. But I thought Newcastle, considering the injuries they have, were monumentally good. They really were.
OK, so these are the scores from all the groups. Group E, Lazio 2, Celtic 0, Feyenoord 1, Atletico 3. Group F, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Newcastle 1, AC Milan 1, Borussia Dortmund 3. We'll get to that game in a moment. Group G, Manchester City 3, Leipzig 2, Young Boys 2, Sevilla Zvezda 0. And in Group H, Shakhtar 1, Antwerp 0, Barcelona 2, Porto 1. So let's start in Group F. And the massive game, as we just mentioned, Paris Saint-Germain hosting Newcastle United. Kev watched this game alongside Adam Summerton.
Someone's trying to find the roof of the shot. He's at there! It was pushed out by Donnarumma, right at the feet of Isak, who puts Newcastle in front at the Parc des Princes.
The ball squirts out to Isak, who does what all good strikers do. He gambles. He expects the goalkeeper to make a slight mistake, which is what he does, and then it falls to Isak's feet. It looks like a tap-in, but it all comes from that instinct that Isak has as a striker. That is a great Newcastle goal.
Mbappe's peeled out to the right here. He's been tracked out there by Fabian Schär. Dembele takes up a position in the penalty area. Barcola's there as well. Barcola! Wide!
Brilliant piece of goalkeeping, because it looks for all the world as though Barcola is going to score there. It's amazing play by Mbappe. Left two players trailing in his way. Barcola just hits it, but Pope manages to make the block.
Movement from Gonzalo Ramos in the box as a turn by Mbappe. And Mbappe's shot came up, but Mbappe again, he fisted it wide. Two chances for the talisman. First one saved by Pope, the second one went wide. It's all Paris now. Vitinha. Now they're saying there was an arm used there. He's given the penalty. It's a spot kick for Paris. It's a chance for them to level this. Mbappe places it, puffs out his cheeks. The eighth minute of added time. Mbappe for Paris. Scores! It's 1-1 in the French capital.
And that is the way it would stay. Adam joins Kev and I now after that game. Adam, how did Newcastle approach the match and play the match to even get themselves into a position where they nearly had one of their most famous European wins?
It was very clever the way that they did it, because they would pick the right moments to step out. They'd pick the right moments to drop off. At times, it was attack against defence, particularly in the second half. But it was very good to watch, because it was so clever the way that they were doing it. And you have to remember the calibre of attacking players that they restricted tonight is some of the best players in the world, particularly someone like Kylian Mbappe on his day. Dembele is somebody that you could probably put in that bracket as well. So, but at the very heart of it all, And I suppose you want to say something clever, but at the very heart of it all, it's just hard work. I mean, if you haven't got that, you can't do what they did tonight. That was a fundamental of it. I think maybe in the end that perhaps they invited a little bit too much pressure if you're to be super critical, but then that's just the way games like that, situations like that tend to go when a side's protecting a lead at a ground like this, in a situation like this. But I was so impressed with Newcastle in so many different ways, particularly the first half, because in the first half they offered threat of their own as well. And again, it was they picked their moments, which was so clever about the way that they approached it in that first half.
First few minutes were scary for them, because Hakimi was finding space on the right-hand side, made a good chance for Kylian Mbappe. And Tino Livramento, the young left-back, became a very important part of what Newcastle did in attack, because they were using him as an inverted left-back. What we mean by that is he moves into the middle and makes the extra man. It was his surge that led to Newcastle's goal, because he managed to take out a few Paris players with a slaloming run, found Almiron on the edge of the area. His shot was only parried by Donnarumma, and there was Isak gambling, as all good strikers should do, to tap the ball home. But from the get-go, actually, Newcastle were committing men forward. Now, what that does is it makes it really difficult for a team like Paris who want to dominate possession. Because it says to Paris, OK, well, you can try and dictate the tempo, you can try and have most of the ball, but what happens when you lose it? We're going to commit lots of men forwards and turn you round. And if you get into the mindset as the home team, well, they'll come here, they'll sit, they'll make it easy for us to just knock the ball around. If you've then got that doubt that they can turn you around on the counter-attack, it does make you force things a bit more, and it does make you a bit more jittery. I thought they did that incredibly well, but slowly but surely, as Adam says, Paris threw on attacking players, got the momentum, and eventually it paid off for them.
Let's hear from Newcastle's goalscorer Alexander Isak in reflective mood.
Of course, very proud of the team. You know, it's not easy place to come. I think they haven't lost in some time, so I think we did great. Of course, we got a bit tired, you know, in the end defending. But yeah, we almost got the win. But yeah, a bit unfortunate. We always want to win, but you know, we can't win. You know, this point will probably be important. You know, and we have all to play for in the last round.
Yeah, he was sharp, wasn't he, from close range to give Newcastle the lead on the night. And for all the brave work in the defending, Paris had lots of chances, Adam, and chances they'll feel that on another day that they would have scored three or four in that second half.
Yeah, that's fair. They did have chances. They did manage to carve out openings. Barkala, whilst he failed to take a pretty good chance, he made an impact when he came on. I felt he made things happen. He posed different problems to Newcastle than perhaps had been there before, very direct, and got himself into pretty good positions as well. Just couldn't take the it wasn't one, it was two good chances he had, actually. I think Kevin said in the game, you wouldn't look at it and say Paris are playing badly. They weren't. They didn't play badly at all. But Newcastle, Pope played well, they were well organised. I do feel for Newcastle that ultimately having gone through all that effort, but that's football, isn't it? That's what can happen. You can go right to the end, and then, of course, something goes against you right at the last, and you have to settle for a point. But look, one thing we should mention is that it was a big fear of Newcastle fans that they would not be in the UEFA Champions League, it's not in the reckoning come the end of tonight. Well, they are. They've still got a chance. And Paris have got to play Dortmund, albeit an already qualified Dortmund. That's not easy, and they're at home to Milan, aren't they, on the final?
That's right, games.
We said in the commentary, the biggest compliment I can pay this group of Newcastle players is they, after a long absence from the Champions League as a football club, have come into a group with Milan, Dortmund and Paris, who are all established clubs in this competition's history. They have not looked remotely out of place at any stage. And I think that is a massive compliment to the players, but most of all Eddie Howe, who I think has shown tactically he has the chops to deal with this. I thought he set them up brilliantly, the way they played. The thing to remember about Paris, just quickly as well, they're very early on the journey with Luis Enrique. It's his first season in charge. I think what they'll get better at as time goes on is they'll get better at these games where clubs make it tough for them and say, OK, what have you got? Can you play through us? I think they'll they'll manage those changes of pace much better the longer that he's there.
Okay, more on this game shortly. Let's go to the other game in Group F. Dortmund travel to San Siro to face Milan. Jonathan Beck was watching for Matchday Live.
5 minutes and 50 seconds on the clock. It is Olivier Giroud, left-footed saved! Corbel down to his right-hand side, turning it away. What a moment that could be in this group. Missed penalty. Hummels have spread that one from deep to Emre Can on the halfway line. Up to Jamie Bynoe-Gittens, who goes down on the edge of the area. And now Dortmund have got a penalty. Remarkable. 4 minutes after the first penalty, the referee points to the spot at the other end. It's Mike Maignan in goal, facing Marco Reus. Up he steps, right-footed into the top left-hand corner, and Dortmund lead. Milan, right-hand side, Harry Chukwueze, racing and running and scoring! It's come out of nothing. Samuel Chukwueze, down the right, digs into the area, cuts back, fires through, into the corner. Fulkrug's little touch on the way to Bynoe-Gittens! Oh, Jamie Bynoe-Gittens with a moment of magic on the edge of the area. Strokes it into the corner. It's his first European goal. And what a big one it could be. Dortmund back in the lead. Adeyemi, edge of the D, shoots! Oh, it's a smart save from the goalkeeper, but has it gone in? The referee looks at his watch and says yes! Maignan got a hand to it but couldn't keep it out. It bounced down on the line and over the line, and Karim Adeyemi, Dortmund substitute, has struck in Milan. It is Milan 1, Dortmund 3. They could well and should well now be heading into the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League.
And they did. Dortmund are in the knockouts, in the toughest of groups. And Jonathan, judging by the scoreline and what you've said, it feels like they deserved their victory.
I think ultimately they did, Rob. Yeah, it was close for a lot of the game. Dortmund playing on the counter-attack, sitting a little deeper and letting AC Milan come onto them. But they couldn't break them down. Dortmund did an excellent job of winning the ball back on the edge of the area. And Hummels was named the UEFA Man of the Match. He had an excellent game at the back. Can ran things nicely in midfield. Fulkrug, I was thinking about him and thought he's barely been involved. Then he hit the bar, he had a header over the top, but he made the assist to the assist, if you like, for Dortmund's second and third goals. His contribution really important as he got the ball to Sabitzer for the Adeyemi goal, and then Adeyemi fired it in. Unlucky for Maignan, who palmed it down and then it crossed the line before he could claw it back. But yeah, Dortmund probably on the second half performance deserved it. And it's the first time Milan have lost at home to a German side since Dortmund beat them here in March of 2003.
Big night for a couple of Dortmund's young players. Jamie Bynoe-Gittens, we talked about at half-time, about him potentially having an impact in the second half. He absolutely did that, following on what's been a good run of form from him. But also Karim Adeyemi, who hadn't scored a goal in the Bundesliga, a bit of tough run of form for him. That is a huge moment, potentially, in his season.
Yeah, I think so for both of them. They obviously missed the weekend because he was ill. Sebastian Haller came back, was on the bench, not used tonight. I think for Adeyemi, yeah, he's not had the best of times of it, has he, really? Dortmund have leaked too many goals and not really lit things up at the other end. They got through a lot of the early Bundesliga games just by the odd goal, just by seemingly doing enough, despite not necessarily being the best side in the game. But Bynoe-Gittens, since he broke into the side in the last three games, has really been a breath of fresh air. He deserved his goal, a first in European football for him. And it was a surprise he was withdrawn so quickly after that, actually. Marius Wolf came on to shore things up. Daniel Marlin had already departed 10 minutes into the half. Edin Terzic had seen enough after that just to make a little change. But it was the right call. Ultimately, they scored again 10 minutes later. Adeyemi getting the goal, and it paid off. So well done, Edin Terzic. Got his tactics spot on.
But Milan, despite defeat, Jonathan, are still in the mix for a place in the round of 16.
Yeah, they couldn't be knocked out, even with defeat after the result that happened in Paris. So it's going to be fascinating match day six. We said before, these are the kind of groups you want when you come to the latter stages, one that is still up in the air with everything to play for. And that remains the situation on match day six. They may not have been exceptional, Milan. They did well to get back into the game. Chukwueze looked bright, and it was probably a surprise when he was withdrawn, to be honest. He'd been one of the danger men for Milan. But, yeah,
it's all to play for in a mouth-watering selection of match day six matchups in this Group F.
That's right. So Dortmund top of the group and through with 10 points. Paris Saint-Germain after their late draw now on 7. Newcastle and Milan are both on 5. And on match day six, Borussia Dortmund take on Paris Saint-Germain in Germany. Well, at St James's Park, Newcastle host AC Milan. The atmosphere will be undoubtedly exceptional for that one. OK, more on that group shortly. Let's go to Group E now, where Lazio hosted Celtic. Chris Parrott watched this one for us alongside Dan Roebuck.
Isaacson, edge of the area, does get the shot off, and he'll fall for the moment! From close in, could not miss! Lazio have the advantage with just over 8 minutes remaining. It just had to be Ciro Immobile.
Isaacson's left-footed shot took an almighty deflection, but he was alive in the penalty area, Immobile. He's done it all of his career. He was alive, he pounced on it, and he hammered it beyond heart. Still had to finish it.
This is Immobile again, takes it down. Wonderful touch, super finish! Immobile at the double. Celtic's race is run, surely, as Lazio push towards the knockout stages in the UEFA Champions League.
One of the best penalty box finishes of his generation, Ciro Immobile. The goal numbers say that. Shrugged off the defender. Gorgeous then turn to completely beat the other centre-half, and then with Joe Hart rushing out, almost like a starfish, he was a big figure to beat. Left foot, just very coolly, in at the near post.
It's Lazio 2, Celtic 0.
Yeah, Ciro Immobile, the match winner and the UEFA player of the match, despite coming off the bench to win the game for Lazio. The result means that Celtic are out of European competition. Let's hear from their goalkeeper, Joe Hart, on the lessons his side have learnt during the Champions League group stage.
It's not just about playing good football. It's about getting results. It's about fighting. Look, I think we do fight. I think we put up a great fight, but we're not 100-minute fighting team in the Champions League, which is, you know, when the tiredness kicks in, that's when we need to grow again. And I feel like this competition, that's what teams do, and we haven't quite done that.
Yeah, bottom of the group with 1 point, and as Joe Hart mentioned there, the goal was late. They did seem to tire. They had their chances in Rome as well, it is worth mentioning. That result meant that Lazio could go through on match day five if Atletico won at Feyenoord in the later kickoff, and that is exactly what Diego Simeone's side did. A big 3-1 win at Der Kuip. They took the lead through Gertrouders early on goal. Hermoso swept in a remarkable volley. We'll ask him if he intended it or not, but a brilliant goal for 2-0. Mats Wiefer pulled one back, a fine header for 2-1 into the final 15 minutes, but then another own goal. Santiago Jimenez flicking across past his own keeper, and it means that Atletico and Lazio have gone through from the group, Kev.
I tell you right now, if I'm Hermoso, I'm claiming that.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
over the shoulder volley.
Yeah, in the Champions League, smash one in. Yeah, no problem. That is a stellar result, because that's a really hard place to go. Feyenoord have proven that not only in domestic football, but also in European football, not just in the Champions League, but in other competitions as well. And this Atletico team are having some 2023. Because it wasn't that long ago that there was talk about Diego Simeone and what was going to happen. Was this the end of an era? Were they going to have to change things? And he has shown the personality that he's always shown. And in his 100th Champions League game as a coach, yeah, he was able to produce a very Simeone away display. I think Griezmann, for me, is one of the world's best players right now, has been for a long time. He affects the game all the time in general. And you've seen that. And I think the reason I mention that is going forward in the competition, he's the kind of guy that if you keep these games tight, he can win them for you. So if you've got him, if you've got Morata going forward, if you've got Lino, who I think has had a great season for them so far, you've got potential match winners. And you're always going to have that basis to work from, that Simeone coaching. So they're back, and they're back in a big way.
And they have that quality off the bench. They brought on Memphis Depay in the second half. Let's hear from him now.
We won at home, but away is always difficult. Only, of course, I mean, we are Atletico and normally we should win. And we did that tonight and, of course, qualification for the next round. So everybody was happy. We know that it was necessary tonight. And that's why I think the changing room was noisy.
Atletico top of the group now with 11 points. Lazio in second with 10 points. Final moving to the Europa League. Celtic out of Europe, as I mentioned. So on match day six, Lazio go to Atletico. Should be fun, that one. And Celtic host Feyenoord. Still to come, we'll look at more of the action from Tuesday night on match day five of this season's Champions League. And we look ahead to Wednesday too.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
OK, let's look at Group G, where Manchester City were 2-0 down at home to Leipzig. Lois Openda scoring two brilliant goals where he bumped centre-backs and raced through and finished. And it was a game whereby both teams had already qualified, Kev, and it was all about top spot. City just had to draw the game to guarantee top spot. And then City did what they have done more times than I can think any team in recent years do, and just turn it around and win.
They've got those gears that they can just go to when they're in trouble. And if you've got Haaland, who I don't think Leipzig will ever want to face again, to be honest.
Sick of him, yeah.
He got five the last time they went there. So I think when you've got him, when you've got Foden, who I love, I think he's a brilliant player, when you've got guys like Alvarez, when you've got all of that quality, you can do that. And I think it was important for City, actually, because it didn't go the way they wanted at the weekend against Liverpool. They weren't able to push on and get that second goal and then conceded a late equaliser. And there's a feeling that, look, City is still the best team in Europe right now, but they're not quite top gear. That's understandable. Kevin De Bruyne is out injured. He's a hugely influential player. But what normally happens, and we know this, is that City sometimes are a little bit slow out the traps, and then, towards the latter part of the season, that's when they go. Now, actually, they're really well placed in the Premier League and they're already through in the Champions League as well. Yeah. So the scary thing for everyone else is that that surge, you know, is going to happen in the second half of the season, and they're already pretty well placed.
They certainly are. So Haaland got the first goal back, made by Foden, who then scored himself, before Julian Alvarez, who came on for Kyle Walker as they were throwing attackers on the pitch, managed to make it 3-2 to Manchester City. Right, we'll hear from Pep Guardiola in a moment, but first, here's City goal scorer Phil Foden.
We just needed that goal, you know, to get going. Even the fans was a lot louder after the first goal. And yeah, we normally at the Etihad we're flying, so we know we only need one goal and we're going to have many chances. So yeah, once the first one went in, the motivation was there and we kept pushing and kept playing our football and it paid off.
We react really well the second half and yeah, the target. So one game left, we are first in the, you know, in the group, and yeah, very satisfied for the reaction. At the end, the team runs and fight and have a spirit, and that was good.
Pep Guardiola went big with his team selection. He wanted it done tonight, and I think it was probably harder work than he imagined it might be. Young Boys, meanwhile, Kev, quick one on them. 2-0 winners against the Venice Vesta in that group. Levin Blum, the UEFA player of the match, got the second goal, and it means they're into the UEFA Europa League, and they were celebrating brilliantly at full-time in Switzerland.
Yeah, which it's huge for them. I'm not sure they've done that before, actually. Managed to qualify for the Europa League through a Champions League group, I think. So I think that's the first time they've done that. And it is really important for young boys to play European football beyond Christmas, because we know that they're always in the title race domestically. They expect to be there. But these European nights are really, really important. And I think for them to move to the next stage as a football club, it's about playing those games on a more regular basis. And that, I think, will equip them better the next time they're in the Champions League. This was always going to be a really tough group to get landed with RB Leipzig and Manchester City. But this is a really big step forward for them, I think.
Let's hear from the head coach, Raphael Vicky.
I'm obviously very happy. I'm very proud of the team, of the effort. It was a very difficult game. We knew it's going to be a difficult game because Red Star is a very good team, and they showed up today. So, I'm very proud of my team. I think in the beginning they had a few chances, then we scored the goals in the right moment. After that, it was a little bit of a back and forth, chances for both teams. They had big chances, but yeah, that's football. When you don't score, then you concede. We didn't concede, so we scored, and tonight we are the happy ones.
Yes, the young boys into the Europa League. Manchester City 15 points, Leipzig 9, Young Boys 4, and Savenas Vesta out of European competition. Even before match day 6, when Young Boys go to Leipzig and City travel to Serbia, everything's done in that group. Those teams will be as they are placed right now. Not the case for Group H. Shakhtar Donetsk beat Royal Antwerp 1-0 earlier in the day. Fine header from Mikola Matvienko to give them a victory, which means they are still in the running for a round of 16 spot. But Barcelona are through. 2-1 winners against Porto. They came from behind. Pepe scored for Porto. João Cancelo levelled nearly immediately on the half hour before João Felix's winner in the second half. And given the injuries and the fact they've been out in the group stage last couple of seasons, Barca, you could tell from their celebrations at full time that they weren't taking their progression for granted tonight.
I actually think it's their biggest result of the season so far. I think it's absolutely critical that they've qualified from the knockout phase. I think there had been a lot of chatter in Catalunya about some of their recent performances, and I think it was important to find an answer. You mentioned the injuries, you're absolutely right too, and losing Gavi is a massive blow. But they had to show real personality tonight against a Porto team that's always competitive, always difficult to play against, and so that was a really important step, and I think Xavi and his players should be very, very pleased with that.
Okay, so at the moment, Barcelona top with 12 points, Porto 9 points, Shakhtar 9 points, Antwerp no points to their name. But on match day 6, Shakhtar Donetsk go to Porto. Remember, Porto beat them earlier in the group stage. But what a straight shootout, Kev, that one, to reach the round of 16.
Yes, terrific. And look, I don't want to sound twee or patronising here, but can I just say, for Shakhtar to actually be in this position to potentially qualify for the knockout phase of the UEFA Champions League, given the situation they have gone through for obvious reasons, given the players that have moved on, given the fact that it is a young team that has had to really develop very, very quickly and grow up very, very quickly, I think is an utterly remarkable achievement. And I think even if this doesn't work out for them in terms of qualifying for the last 16, I think they deserve just the most huge amount of credit for what they've done, because they've not just toughed it out, they've played some really good football doing it. Sudakov's a lovely player, Sikana I like very much. I think they're a really good unit and they deserve massive credit, but we know going to Porto is a really tough test for anyone.
It certainly is. That'll be match day 6. And of course, there's another massive night of Champions League football coming up on Wednesday. Jack Winstanley has more.
Our early commentary comes from Istanbul tomorrow, where Galatasaray are hoping to complete the double over Manchester United.
Icardi, he's just missed a penalty. Can he score? He hooks it over Onana. Manchester United are appealing for the flag. It does not come.
The Turkish champions' win at Old Trafford was one of the most entertaining games in the competition this season. Erik ten Hag knows that this week's fixtures between the two clubs could be pivotal, given Group A is fascinatingly poised behind Bayern, who've already secured their progression.
I think we improved, so it's a good progress. You see, we are stepping up, we are more stable, we're winning games, so definitely there's a big difference from the first moment that we played them.
We'll have every kick live from 18:45 CET on the show. Regular updates from Spain as well, where Sevilla and PSV are both looking to bolster their hopes of a top two finish in Group B.
It's the away swinger headed in beautifully. A tremendous, powerful header from Nemanja Gudel at the near post. And Sevilla have a goal back.
Kiyoko for De Jong. Luke De Jong for PSV. A trademark goal from the captain.
PSV's win 3 weeks ago means they are second behind Arsenal in a tight section. And our commentary match from 9 p.m. CET comes from the Gunners' home in North London.
Inside the penalty area, turns onto his left foot, Saka! 2-0.
Arsenal welcome Lens to the English capital, and the French side are eyeing up a historic double after beating Mikel Arteta's team on match day 2.
Oh, fabulous! A first-time finish for El Yawahi.
Arsenal against Lens is one of the 6 late kickoffs, and we'll have the goals as they go in from the mall.
Bellingham's driving, scores! Oh, he's incredible! He's unstoppable, it's Jude Bellingham. It's off the crossbar, and it's in there! It's a super header to make it his, and it's a fine Napoli goal that is scored by Leo Ostigard.
Real Madrid are already through, and Napoli can join them with a positive result at the Bernabeu against the 14-time winners. It's Braga against Union Berlin, Bayern host Copenhagen, and in Group D, everything could be wrapped up with a game to spare. Inter and Real Sociedad dramatically made it through on match day 4. Another win for La Real could seal top spot.
It's going to break nicely. Ayer Munoz hits it forward and it's in. Mikel Merino right on the goal line there to head it in on March.
8 more key fixtures in this season's group stage then on Wednesday. We'll take you wherever the story is tomorrow night, right here on Match Day Live.
Jack Winstanley there, some great games in store on Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Let's quickly turn our attention back to Tuesday night and go back to Jonathan Beck. Jonathan, your late reflections on Dortmund beating Milan to reach the round of 16 in the Champions League.
I think it's been brilliant from Dortmund. They obviously lost twice in a row to Bayern and Stuttgart. They came back from 2-0 down at the weekend and used that real confidence and belief to push on here. They came with a plan. The plan was right, even though they conceded an early penalty. Who knows how the game might have turned out if Olivier Giroud had scored that one after 5 minutes. But the game plan worked. Marlon and Beiner Gittens in particular gave them real trouble. I love Beiner Gittens tonight. I think he's going from strength to strength confidence-wise, and he would be my player of the game for Dortmund.
That was my next question, Jonathan. I know Mats Hummels got the official player of the match, but that was going to be my next question to you. Thank you very much, Jonathan, to Borussia Dortmund through to the round of 16. Let's go back to Newcastle's draw at Paris Saint-Germain and hear from the French Champions head coach, Luis Enrique.
Very proud. I think we deserve to win. We created a lot of chances, clear chances. Sometimes it was difficult not to get the ball in. You can create a lot, but if you don't score, you can lose the match.
Luis Enrique, sometimes managers' assessment of a game is dead simple. If you don't score, you're not going to win the game. Sometimes that is the truth. Adam, what are your reflections on the game now? It's been roughly, what, half an hour, 40 minutes since the game finished, and how we feel about the fact that Newcastle were close to a win and Paris denied them late?
Well, I think that Newcastle plays very well. They were very savvy. I think if you're looking to it in the whole, it's probably a fair result that it was a draw. There were chances created by Paris in that second half. I think it's great that this group, which is one of the best groups in terms of the teams in it that I've seen ever in the UEFA Champions League, the fact that it's going to go all the way down to match day 6, it's still keeping us guessing. I think that's really good as well. But big praise and plaudits need to go the way of Dortmund, because, you know, it wouldn't have you could have taken that group and they could have finished in anywhere in that group and it wouldn't have surprised me.
Absolutely.
But the fact that they're going through early, I think they've done absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah, in a great position right now. Kev, from all the other games, team of the night, player of the night, anything you want. What's your standout moment from tonight in the UEFA Champions League?
Well, actually, I think it was about teams really stepping up when the pressure was on. Atletico, massive result in Rotterdam against Feyenoord. Lazio, that was a tough game against Celtic because they were expected to win it, but they really showed up. Immobile was great. Shakhtar's a massive win against Antwerp. Again, a game they were probably expected to win. So I think probably performance of the night, Atletico, goal of the night, that volley from Mario Hermoso that he absolutely 100% meant to whack that into the corner.
Kev giving him the benefit of the doubt. Gents, thank you very much for your company this evening. That is all we have time for. Match Day Live is on air from 6 p.m. CET every Champions League match night throughout the group stages. On Wednesday, full commentary of that massive game, Galatasaray versus Manchester United and Arsenal versus Lens. Plus, we'll have extended updates of Real Madrid versus Napoli, as well as the goals as they go in across Europe Barcelona, Atletico, Lazio, Dortmund, all through on Tuesday night. Remember to download this very podcast shortly after every match day via your favourite provider. From me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.